Good morning. You're listening to 91.5 KUNV, and this is Neon Eden. I'm your host, Tobin LePan, reporter for the Las Vegas Sun. And joining me is my co-host, Sun political reporter, Andrew Doman.
Hello.
Our guest today is Leo Morietta, National Field Director for Mi Familia Vota, an organization focused on promoting civic engagement among Hispanics. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. How are you?
All right. Mi Familia Vota is involved in registering voters, promoting turnout for elections, supporting legislation they feel is beneficial to the community, such as immigration reform and citizenship workshops. So Leo, first, you know, obviously the big topic, especially in the Hispanic community, it's a big issue, is immigration reform. There's bills that are in the House. There's a bill that passed through the Senate. Where does everything stand now? Give us an update.
So right now with immigration reform, we're at a point where we have a bill in the House. It has a lot of different components. It's a compromise bill. We have, although the Democrats proposed it, it has a lot of border security amendments and sections of the bill that Republicans have passed through their committees unanimously. Tough border enforcement. It's not quite as tough as the Senate bill, but it's still pretty tough. All of the bills that pass through the House committees, the House Subcommittee on Immigration, it's in this bill. So right now we're looking at the fact that we have enough votes if this bill were to come to a vote to pass it.
In the House.
In the House.
But, and that's the sticking point then when we say if it could come to a vote,
right.
The House is led by the GOP, Speaker Boehner is not inclined to just put it up for a vote, probably knowing, right, that maybe not the majority of Republicans would support it, but enough Republicans with Democrats would get it through, and that's the sticking point, right?
Yeah, and the great thing is that all across the country during August recess, this didn't happen by accident. We're not here, the Democrats didn't put together and forward a bill by accident just because they woke up one day and said, hey, I want to do this. Groups like ours and national partners, SEIU, the Center for Community Change, and other local groups, we've been working together since the beginning of this year to figure out how do we do this. We had a large strategy. We were together on this for the Senate fight. We had a lot of work going on all across the country. Where did we need to go? Who did we need to push? And how do we talk to them? How do we build that Republican support? We had a lot of that going on here in Nevada with Senator Heller. You know, Senator Heller was probably one of the most instrumental senators to pass immigration reform in the country. He helped broker the Corker-Hoven Amendment that brought on 14 Republicans in the Senate. And now we're faced with Congressman Heck and Congressman Amede in Nevada. Both of them support a path to citizenship for the undocumented.
That's sort of the essential thing here, right?
Right.
I mean, the way I've viewed this sort of going forward is I know there's a number of bills, but both they all seem to contain some portion of border security that, mm-hmm. that gets amped up. Or enhanced, or however you want to say it, and also a pathway to citizenship. Is that sort of the likely compromise that we're going to see? And is that what you're looking for?
There is nothing above for us citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
Citizenship is the answer. We're not looking to relegate an entire generation of people to second-class status, to never being able to participate and actually effectuate change positively and peacefully at the ballot box.
Mm-hmm.
You know, multiple times we've been quote-unquote derailed. Folks have done a really good job of being skeptical about what are our chances. It's a really good thing for our country that we have this debate and that we have a solution to this issue that's facing millions of people across the country. Syria is one of the things, the debt ceiling, the budget crisis. We defaulted. We shut down. Well, hopefully we don't default.
Yeah, we haven't defaulted yet.
Oh, correct.
All right, don't worry yet, people. We haven't defaulted quite yet.
Please don't. Please don't. But we've pushed through August recess, where 2 years ago, 3 years ago, healthcare reform basically went to die. It was intense. It was a fight, and it was bloody. This year, August recess, we won. We have over 26 Republicans who came out for support of immigration reform,
mm-hmm.
And citizenship. And with where we are now, this is the last leg of the race. We're looking for the people who said yes before to say yes now.
Mm-hmm. And so August recess, obviously there was a lot of work done on the ground. That's when a lot of congressmen were back in their home districts and, you know, were accessible by, you know, advocates on the ground. But now we have reached this point where all attention is on the stalemate in Congress, on getting a budget passed, on the government shutdown. When you travel all around as a field director, and I mean, what are you seeing from the people on the ground that have done so much work? Is there some disenchantment? Is there this feeling like, oh, we've worked so hard and now everything's stalled out? Is there a feeling that the movement's plateaued, I guess?
So I spent a lot of time in Florida, in Washington, in Washington State, in Denver. I spent time in California, all over the country, just talking to immigrants' rights groups just to see where things are at. And the more people are informed on how powerful our movement is and how inclusive this movement is, the more energized they are. You would think that people are demoralized. You would think that people have lost momentum. But the reality is people are excited of where we are, especially with the announcement of H.R. 15. That's the House bill. Now more than ever, people are just ramped up and ready to go. We saw it yesterday. We saw it the other day on the 8th. We had over 200 individuals from across the country, from labor, from faith, from Congress, from everywhere. Community organizations get arrested. Civil disobedience on the mall in D.C. It's the largest civil disobedience in the Capitol's history. This is crazy. Momentum is building. We're not going to take no for an answer.
But Leo, I know you've been around the country. You're advocating for this, and I don't want to be the one to try to like throw cold water on it. But we were talking just a little while ago that this came up in when George Bush was president, 2006, 2007, didn't go anywhere. It was a campaign issue, and Obama said, okay, you know, this is important. You know, I guess I just want to ask, like, why is this time different?
Yeah, and no, it's a good question. We have been here before. We've been here several times before. The reality is we haven't updated our immigration system since 1986, and that wasn't really an upgrade or a reform to our system. That was amnesty. Now, in 2006, when there was the largest push really we've ever done, Bush tried to do this prior to September 11th. We had high-level conversations between Mexico and the United States, and it looked like things were going great. And then they didn't. We did lose steam. You know, unfortunately, September 11th really destroyed our chances, and it happens. But in 2006, when we had the latest pushes for immigration reform, that's when everyone took to the streets. We marched. We did vigils. We did pickets. We, all over the country, millions of people poured out everything they had. But we didn't have the political strength that we do now. Latinos weren't the decisive vote in those elections in 2006, and they weren't in gigantic, gigantic numbers in 2008. They were sizable, but we were nothing like we were last year. Last year, over 12.2 million Latinos came out to vote. We were almost 10% of the national electorate. And every single Latino will most likely tell you, yeah, I voted for immigration reform. The Latino vote last year was a referendum on Congress. President Obama, the House, the Senate, Democrats and Republicans, that it doesn't matter what you've said or done before, we're passing immigration reform.
So I know, you know, you've probably encountered this before. I've heard it before. There are people out there who will say, you know, okay, this is amnesty. This is actually rewarding someone who broke the law. And therefore, you know, that can't be done, shouldn't be passed. Kick them all out, make them self-deport, or whatever other solution that they have. But how do you address those concerns when you're talking with folks?
Absolutely. Their concerns are valid, but they're misplaced. We're not asking for amnesty. We're asking for an earned path to citizenship. We're asking for folks to get in the back of the line, but for that line to get fixed. Right now, immigrants who want to come the legal way, quote unquote, from the Philippines have to wait a minimum of 18 years to come here legally. Immigrants from Mexico wait up to 23 years. Immigrants from India have to wait less. The poorer countries in the world have to wait the most amount of time to come here legally. But they're also the places, the countries that have the highest rate of immigration to this country. So we're not asking for the back of the line to be tomorrow. We're asking for the back of the line to be fixed. We're asking for folks to be able to learn English, pay back taxes, pass a background check, and prove that they want to be here. And that's what we're asking for. We're not asking for a free ride. Nobody's asking for a free lunch. And that's something that's never come out of my mouth, and it's never come out of anybody who's actually in front advocating for immigration reform. We're looking for a fix that will help us bring our families together, It'll lift the fear of deportation from the majority of undocumented immigrants, and it'll allow our country to really see the benefits of it. You know, Nevada alone, 63-64% of Nevadans support immigration reform with a path to citizenship. There's hundreds of millions of dollars of tax revenue that Nevada specifically would see if we pass immigration reform with citizenship. You know, we had a great expose on October 5th where we had at the Culinary Union Hall, we did a video presentation where we had elected officials from not just the state legislature, but city council and also from the county commission. They went and they talked to immigrant small business owners, and they spent a day with them. They were the walk-a-days. So it's like walk-a-day in an immigrant's shoes. And we had an amazing interview with a small business owner who runs a cake shop. And he himself was saying that people aren't spending money in this state, in this country. Immigrants aren't spending their money because they're scared. There's uncertainty in their future, in their family's future, in their business's future. So once we alleviate that from the system, mm-hmm. then we see the benefits. We're going to reap the benefits.
Right. And obviously, it should be mentioned that while other states, say California and Texas, have more undocumented immigrants, we have the highest percentage of our total population. I think 7% of our total Nevada population estimated undocumented immigrants, and that's the highest in the country. And between the two bills, there's the Senate bill, which passed through the Senate, and then the more comprehensive in Congress, the one bill that was just announced, H.R. 15, by the Democratic caucus. And I was wondering, I mean, how similar are those bills? Is there a preference from your standpoint, from Mi Familia Vota's standpoint, of is one bill better than the other? Are they really similar and wouldn't be that hard to reconcile?
You know, we leave a lot of the legislative fights to legislators and lobbyists and folks who are a lot smarter than me. What we're looking for is we're looking for a path to citizenship, an earned path that will keep our families together, offer that earned path to citizenship, and will protect workers' rights from being exploited. We're looking for tenets of a bill that'll give us these things. These are our core values. You know, these are things that we can't give up on. We can't compromise on. We're compromising on a lot. The Senate bill has the biggest expansion of the federal government in our time. We have the most expensive border security package that passed in the Corker-Hoven Amendment that got 14 Republicans to sign on. It would increase the number of border patrol agents mm-hmm. To 40,000 border patrol agents.
So double them, basically.
Double them. Yeah. And it would increase the budget of the Department of Homeland Security to astronomical figures. This is the largest reach into the country's purse just to make a point about immigration reform, just to make a point of border security.
I mean, one thing that surprised me the other week was I was reading a story in the New York Times that was talking about immigration, and it was American immigration to Mexico, and it said that's actually now outpacing the number of Mexican immigrants who are coming mm-hmm. to the United States, which was news to me. I would have assumed the opposite there. So what is this sort of amped up border security doing for us if there's actually fewer immigrants crossing over from the Mexican border to the American side? What do we get for that? What's the bang for the buck?
So it's really interesting. So the American Immigration Council, they're one of our national partners, and they're amazing. They have so mm-hmm. many facts and stats and data. Years ago, they showed that we don't technically have an immigration problem. And it's interesting. You're like, wait, what? So there's less people crossing the border, whether illegally or legally, than there are, it's a net zero.
Right, the flow, back and forth.
The flow is at a net zero. So the immigration problem that people are scared of and they're here to take all of our jobs, all this crazy stuff, there's 11 million plus people already here, already working, already going to our schools, already using our services, paying into Social Security sometimes with never seeing the benefits. They're paying rent, they're paying mortgages, therefore they're paying for our schools that, you know, are subpar in a lot of parts of the country, particularly here in Nevada. This problem is here. The information that people need to see is that these folks are already here. How can we improve the scenario? How can we bring them out of the shadows? Help them to pay their taxes, learn English, pass a background check, and start participating in American culture. which a lot of their kids, they're as American as any of you guys. I'm a naturalized citizen. I came to this country when I was 7 days old. I was almost undocumented. You know, I didn't have my papers in line by the time my family had to cross the border. We came here under missionary visas in 1986, and things were really stressful at that point in time with immigration. So, you know, it's different. Kids now are as American as every other kid sitting in that classroom. So when we're talking about the immigration issue and the immigration quote-unquote problem, we're talking about kids who sit in a classroom with every other kid and just want to have a successful future.
You know, I think it's interesting that you bring up, you know, just how the total picture of immigration. I mean, I myself was born in Korea. You know, I came here under an adoption program. And there are plenty of immigrants. When you talk about the immigration system as a whole, issues with getting people visas and wait times in other countries. But a lot of the debate here and a lot of the comments that I know, Tovin, you've probably seen as well in the Las Vegas Sun, they deal a lot, that people end up talking a lot about Mexico and Mexicans, right, and sort of couple that together with, you know, undocumented immigrants or immigration reform. Do you encounter that? What's been your experience with that?
The great thing from when I traveled to Washington, there's a large Asian AAPI immigrant community. When you go to Northern Nevada, we have one of the largest Basque and Russian communities in the country. And then here in Las Vegas, we have, I believe it's the second or third largest Filipino population in the country.
Yeah. Other than Mexicans, Filipinos are our next largest ethnic group in the county. Yeah.
And it's true. And then, you know, everybody from South America, if they're going to, let's say, quote unquote, walk or cross the border, you know, they have to come through Mexico. I've had family members and friends who've been deported, but they're not from Mexico. They're from Guatemala. They're from El Salvador. They're from Nicaragua. Oh, it's fine. That'll take them to Mexico. This is not a Mexican issue. This is an American issue that America needs to fix.
And you're listening to Neon Eden on 91.5 KUNV. And our guest today is Leo Morietta, a national field director for Mi Familia Vota. And Leo, like you said just a few minutes ago, you're a naturalized citizen. And I was wondering, you know, people talk about why is the pathway to citizenship necessary when we talk about a solution for the undocumented immigrant population? Why can't we just give them a legal status and they'll like sort of be permanent residents but never actually be able to obtain citizenship? And from your viewpoint, somebody who actually has obtained citizenship, why is that important?
I think a lot of times, so I have a personal story. My naturalization story is not typical. Well, it's getting more typical than not, but when we talk about not allowing people the opportunity to participate in our democracy, we have to remember, we have to look back in our history books and when else was that wrong? Who else did that impact that it was wrong? And we're talking about half of the world, women. Mm-hmm. Women weren't allowed to vote. African Americans weren't allowed to vote. The Chinese Exclusion Acts. Like, what happened in this country when we did this before and we knew that it was wrong? Now, okay, that's a history lesson. I know nobody likes to talk about history. We forget. We have the memory of a goldfish, and that's fine. But January 23rd of 2010 at about 2:30 in the afternoon, that's when my life changed. That is the exact moment when I became an American citizen. My path to citizenship took me over 3 years, and it cost me over $6,000. Wow. It shouldn't have been that way. Back then, well, yeah, citizenship costs about $685 for legal permanent residence. And I came here with a green card, so that's how much it would have cost me. Now, I had gone to in Spanish they're called notarios. They're notary publics. You'll see them. You'll see them on different streets. They have all these multi-services, and everybody goes to them, but nobody really knows why, and nobody really knows why they're not actual attorneys.
Well, it should be noted, right, that notario in, say, Latin, like Mexico, for example, they have more legal ability. They can do more things than a notary can
or
do here.
Notary,
so it's like
public,
really, so almost this like false translation, right, or false cognate, where a notario in Mexico is different than a notary.
Different than
here.
A notary public.
And it's the same scenario in most of Latin America. A notario is somebody of prestige. It's almost like a magistrate. They're larger than an attorney. They're not quite a judge. It's a play on words, and it's unfortunate. And a lot of people prey on people like myself. In I thought I was an educated person. I know a lot about a lot of things. But I went in 2007 asking my mother, where do I go? And I need help to become a citizen. Oh, well, she recommended me to this woman that we got through a church. And, oh, she's great. Okay, great. $500. Thank you very much. A month goes by. I don't get a phone call. Oh, well, listen, I need another $200. And then this kept going through different. I thought, oh, I'm not going to go back to her. I'll find another one. I'll find another attorney, which wasn't actually an attorney. But $6,000 later, I'm sitting in the office of an honest attorney that I was talking to about something else, about the DREAM Act that was going to be presented that year, and I was super excited about how I could get involved. And she started asking me questions about, oh, well, are you registered to vote? No, I'm not. I'm a legal permanent resident. It sucks. I tried to become one. It just didn't work. And so she asked me a couple questions. Both my parents actually became naturalized before 2001. So under previous immigration law, that automatically qualifies me, since I was a minor at that time, for automatic citizenship. Now, I didn't know that. And then in 2001, the Uniting American Families Act that passed under President Bush then changed immigration law technically to allow when one immigrant parent becomes naturalized, their minor, like their kids who are LPRs, legal permanent residents, they get automatic citizenship. I didn't know that, and nobody told me that. So I also didn't believe her. I was like, no, you're crazy. Everyone's been telling me completely differently for years. And so she looked it up on immigration, USCIS, and there it was. And I looked at the clock, and it was 2:30, and she asked me if I would like to register to vote. And it was the most incredible experience. January 23rd of 2010 at about 2:30 in the afternoon is my American birthday. And that experience, and then 5 months later, being able to vote for the first time. I voted in the primaries. I vote every election, and I will always vote in every election. And then this past year, I got to vote for president for the first time, and I voted with my mother. I was a hot mess. I was ugly crying because it was an amazing experience, and that's what I want for everyone. That's what I want for people who are willing to work hard, willing to get at the back of the line, pass the background check, and really go through this path, and that's what I want. And it's not a big ask. It makes our democracy diverse. It makes our country stronger. And it really solves a problem that shouldn't be a problem.
But is it a fixable problem? I mean, this Congress has until the end of the year 2014 to finish up its business. It's got all these bills before it. Is there any way that this gets done? I know it might sound like, gee, we've got all the time in the world because we're sitting here in October of 2013. But at the pace that Congress is moving, and you're lucky if they do anything. But right now they're shut down. So what are your hopes that what's the pathway to getting the pathway to citizenship?
So I have a friend. His name is Jesus. His sister is she was just released. She was locked up in Eloy Detention Center in Tucson, and he was someone who had lost hope. He's a legal permanent resident, and so was his sister. And now I passed him the information for H.R. 15 when it passed, because the Eloy Detention Center is where the Dream 9, these were a group of undocumented kids who did a large demonstration on the border, and they won asylum. They petitioned for asylum, but they were held at Eloy Detention Center. This is also one of the detention centers that Sheriff Joe Arpaio stopped giving the inmates meat. They've been found to violate human rights by not feeding the inmates, cutting off communication for inmates, and this is where they put immigrants. And so when I gave him the information and the details of H.R. 15, he called me. It was late at night, and he was crying because he said, we finally have hope. I have hope again. We can actually do this. And that conversation, it's been had all across the country by family members, by parishioners, by faith leaders, labor leaders. We're having this grassroots conversation, and we're having it intentionally to get people energized again, that we're not done. The August recess didn't knock us off our game. Syria didn't knock us off our game. The shutdown didn't knock us off our game. During the shutdown was when H.R. 15 was announced. We did the largest demonstration on October 8th in the Capitol's history during the shutdown. October 8th, over 200 people. We had 8 members of Congress to get arrested with us. This is not a losing battle. we have the momentum. The majority of Americans believe that this is the right thing to do. You know, kids at UNLV, there's people in your classroom right now, or, well, you're going to get there. There's no telling who's undocumented. And just because they're Latino doesn't mean that. This is a winning issue, and it's something that, although there's a lot of gridlock in Washington, we passed a Senate bill with 68 votes, 14 Republicans. We can do it again.
In the House, though, the dynamic, right, was you have a speaker there, John Boehner, who's going to say, okay, you know, can I, John Boehner, really bring this up when most of the Democrats are going to vote for it and most of the Republicans aren't? Is there any way to shift that dynamic?
They stick to this Hassert rule, right? The Hassert mm-hmm. rule, the idea that they won't bring anything to the floor that the majority of the majority, in this case the GOP,
which is not really a rule,
would support. It's not an actual rule that they would stick to, but they just bring it up. Well, we have to follow.
It's very convenient.
It's an excuse.
You're right. It's nobody said this was going to be easy. We have enough Republican votes to pass this bill. We have enough. We have enough for citizenship, and that's all we want. Take us to conference, and we will make it happen. The emphasis, like locally with Congressman Heck, in Florida we've got Congressman Webster, in Washington we've got Congressman Reichert, in Colorado we have Congressman Coffin. These are all folks that they are not typically aligned with the Latino and the immigrant community, but they see the reason why this is the good thing to do, this is the right thing to do. So we have unlikely allies. Nevada, just so everyone knows, I travel across the country. Nevada, we have the only state Republican Party who's come out in support of immigration reform. We also have the only Nevada the grassroots Tea Party organization that's supportive of immigration reform. That's big. That means, like, this isn't just some other issue. This is, you have Democrats and Republican, conservative Republicans coming out in support of this. Like, this is big. And the momentum behind it is too big to fail.
So, we're in Vegas, right? And so this is a betting town. And what, you know, people talk about not getting into 2014 midterm election. I mean, what are the odds this we get an immigration reform deal done before the end of 2013?
That's what we're gaming on. But the reality is, Mi Familia Vota, our mission, we're nonpartisan. Regardless of if it's a Democratic or a Republican solution, we're looking for a solution. All throughout 2012, our message across the country with immigrants' rights groups and other civic engagement organizations and Latinos all across the country, in 2014, we're going to either punish or we're going to reward Congress based on their votes on immigration reform. And that's still true. All across the country, you have vulnerable districts, quote-unquote vulnerable. You have districts where they could turn Democrat or Republican. And it's not an issue of all the Democrats support this. That's not true. Not all Democrats support this. And as a community, we don't sell ourselves short saying, oh yeah, well, the Democrats are on our side. No, we need to make sure all elected officials are held accountable. And how do we do it? We register people to vote. We educate them on the issues, and then we get them out to vote. That's one thing we do well.
All right. Well, that's all we have time for today, and it'll be really interesting to see what happens, and hopefully they can continue the debate once they get the shutdown resolved. But our guest today has been Leo Morrieta, National Field Director for Mi Familia Vota. Thanks for joining us, Leo.
Thank you.
And you've been listening to Neon Eden on 91.5 KUNV. I'm your host, Tovin LePan, and for our co-host, Andrew Doman, and thanks to our producer, Richard Riegel. We'll see you next week.